Sometime back, a week or so ago, God began to minister to me while I was in my office. Jesus said, go into your closet, shut the door, pray to your Father in secret. And it began to dawn on me, I guess, how over time I have become adapted to the presence of God, so that he can come to my house and be comfortable, but I'm also comfortable with him being there. I can think of times that I wasn't comfortable. I can think of prayer meetings where I just walked in off the street and people had already been praying, and the atmosphere was so charged with the presence of God that I wanted to run out. My flesh just didn't want to be there. My spirit loved it. My flesh hated it. And so the question came, can we be in that place where even our flesh, our bodies, our soul, our minds, our spirits are comfortable in God's presence? Or to think about if I died at this moment and I was instantly in heaven, would that be a shock to my system? Or would I just move right on through? And it would be the same as being here, except I'm there. That's what I want. I want to be so adapted to him that I can just move on in. Or wherever he is on the earth, that I could just move in his presence. Now you think back to the Garden of Eden. God showed up every day in the cool of the evening and visited with Adam and Eve. He made them from the dust of the earth. He breathed. They became a living soul. And he came to visit with them every day. And they weren't terrified of him or frightened or anything else. We don't know how long that went on, because nobody was counting at that time. Yeah. But after sin, think about it, after they sinned, God still showed up. But it was Adam and Eve that hid. So God is still showing up, but are we adapted to where we can receive him? And so I want to be able to receive him, and I want to be changed into his image. I want to be changed from glory to glory. And something that I'm kind of keeping track of is people coming to visit, and they tell me how close to the house they can get before they feel the presence of God. I want that distance to be longer and longer and longer. When I walk into Walmart, I want people to feel the presence of God. When I go to the grocery store, I go to the gas station, I want people to, what is that? You know, it feels different here. Now, when we walk into evil, you're talking about going into town there, Sedona, Arizona, and you can feel it. There are places I go that, well, if you go to the Lake of the Ozarks, there's a certain place going into the Lake of the Ozarks, you just drive it into it. It's just like driving in mud. You can take your hand and cut it. The spirit of lust is so prevalent there. So if we can feel that, can they feel us? See? So I want to be thinking about being adapted to his presence. Is it even possible? Well, I think the scripture says it is, that we can be as close to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as Jesus was when he went up on the mountain to pray. We don't know, because he doesn't say, he just said he went to pray. Did he stay on the earth? Did he go to heaven? Did the heavens open up? Obviously, he knew what to do, so there was communication. I've had heaven open up enough for me that I know it's possible, that I can go there, God can come here. And like Paul said, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. And I can kind of hear him saying, I really don't care. You know, it doesn't matter as long as we are one with God. Jesus prayed for us, John 17. He prayed that we would be one with the Father as he is one with the Father. So I think we need to have that expectation. I was teaching this the other day And so people say, well, but we all sin. I said, well, that's true, but I'm not planning on sinning. It's like they say that so they have an excuse to keep on sinning. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, probably will sin, but I don't plan on it.
That's right.
I plan on having my house so pure that God wants to be there. We had such a beautiful time. Raul brought a couple of his workers with him to my house Tuesday night. And the power of God was just so present. And everyone was just blessed and wow. You know, that's what I want. That's what I want. I want people, when they come in, people that come one-on-one to talk to me because they know something's different. But they don't anymore get in my house and sit down in the chair where I do my praying, and they'll go, it's like they're sound asleep. People, they can't find any place on earth that has such peace. And when they get there, it's like, oh, this is wonderful. And they'll talk about it. They said, we've never experienced peace like this. Can we have peace on earth? I think we can. My peace I give to you. Not like the world gives. So, if he's giving us that peace, which is actually his presence, okay, then we can experience that. So let's look at our scriptures here. 2 Corinthians 5, 16 and 17. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Think about the disciples who walked with Jesus. They knew him in the flesh. Think about Mary. I mean, she bore him as a baby. Think about Jesus' brothers and sisters. They grew up with him. And now they're being told, know him no longer after the flesh, but after the spirit. Think about Thomas. That after Jesus' resurrection, so Thomas said, I'm not going to believe unless I can put my fingers in his, or the holes in his hands, my hand in his side. But Jesus' reply to him was, blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed. So all of those had to come to know him after the spirit, not after the flesh. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Remember last week we were talking about answered prayer, Abba, Father, Daddy. Daddy cares for us. Daddy loves us. That we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us. Because the world don't know us. Because it did not know him. They don't know where we're from. Jesus said, it's kind of like the wind blowing. You see the trees moving, but you don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. Those that are born of the Spirit. And so we want to not only be born of the Spirit, but be filled with the Spirit and be led by the Spirit, be totally inundated in the Spirit, and they won't know us. John 4, verse 24, God is a Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So as we come into this place of being adapted, he's going to tell us truth. He's going to tell us truth about himself, but he's also going to tell us truth about ourselves. First of all, where we have sinned and come short of his glory, because he loves us. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens and corrects. So he's going to be telling us these things, not to hurt us, but to help us to repent and be rid of those things so that the wall comes down so that the heavens can open up and we can enjoy each other, be in fellowship with Jesus. Remember Stephen when he died? He said, and he looked up and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father on high. Okay, how do we get there then? Well, we know it is by the Spirit. We know it is through truth. Okay, then it says 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So, two things. One, we're going to have to watch what we look at, and we're going to have to focus on the glory. We won't be changed if we don't focus on the glory. So many today, Christians, seem to avoid the glory. They don't want reality. Glory is the recognizable reality of God's presence. And they don't want that. But I do.
Me too.
I keep asking the question before God in my prayer time, in my worship time. I say, Father, what did you have in mind when you created man? What was the ultimate of what you were thinking about when you created man? I would like to be that. I would like to be the ultimate. And of course, the only example that we have, because Adam didn't last very long, the only example we have is Jesus. And so I behold Jesus. I behold Jesus. And I behold Jesus because that's the only example I have. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And not only that, but then he begins to reveal his glory even beyond just what we can read in Scripture. As John said, hasn't all been written down yet. There's a bunch of what God is doing and who he is that hasn't been written down. I want to see that. And I want to be changed from glory to glory. Changed means we're not there yet. That's what the word changed means. Okay? And it happens by the Spirit of the Lord, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So he's the one changing us. Okay, to carry that thought a little bit further, I have no idea what I'm supposed to look like when he's done with me. So I can't contribute a whole lot to the process. I don't know what I'm supposed to look like. What would I look like if I was totally glorified on the earth? I don't know. We could assume, and then we could make an effort or whatever, but it's for sure we would come far short of God's intention. So let him lead in determining what we should look like, rather than us telling him what we should look like. It's kind of like I've heard of people going and hiring a golf pro to teach them how to play golf. And then they tell them, this is the way I want to play. Well, that's ridiculous. Why hire somebody if you can already tell them how to tell you what to do? That's just totally ridiculous. See? And so we go before God and say, God, this is what we want to look like when you're done with us. It won't work. But if we say, what did you have in mind when you created it, man? What did you have? I've met some really wonderful spiritual people. And sometimes when I've met these people, I've thought, now, there's the ultimate. And that lasts about 2 or 3 days until I meet the next one. There's a bunch out there that I haven't met that far exceeds them. So we don't have any earthly examples. So all we can do is say, Lord, change us from glory to glory and keep changing us. Will we make it all the way? I don't know. It really don't matter as long as God keeps changing me. If we don't reach that ultimate, at least I'm not what I was last year, right? He's doing a work. The main thing is we want to be a witness on the earth. We want people to be able to see the glory of God radiating from us. We want them to come under conviction. Two things that I want. I want the people who love God, even if I've never met them, I want them to run up and hug my neck. And I have this happen. It's like they recognize that I'm of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Also, what I want is that people that don't love God, I want them to hate me. I want them to feel conviction of sin. Mm-hmm. And I want them to, if they have to, they can hate me. They can persecute me. At least they're doing something. Fact is, it's the ones who have persecuted me that I found to be the easiest to lead to the Lord. They'll fight against it. I've shared with you about the fellow that was a clairvoyant. He was out in the park, and every time I would lead somebody to the Lord, he'd walk. And then he'd go over and try to talk them out of it. Always thought of him, Jesus talked about the bird, you know, running around picking up the seeds. I thought, you pick up enough seeds, you're going to... But anyway, finally, I just was tired of it. Jesus was tired of it. Mm-hmm. And so I saw him sitting off by himself. And so I just went straight over to him, sat down, and he knew who I was. And I said, I'd just like to talk to you a little bit, because I knew he was satanic. I said, what is your gift? And he said, well, I'm a clairvoyant. I said, oh, that's interesting. I don't think I've really met a clairvoyant before. What's a clairvoyant do? He said, I can look into your eyes, and I can tell everything about you. I said, well, go ahead. You know, look in my eyes. And he looked, and his eyes got about that big. He said, I see faith. I see Jesus. I led him to the Lord right there. And he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we want them to react to us. And how many Saul of Tarsus are out there killing the Christians? They're the easiest to lead to the Lord. Okay, 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Now, the word godliness here simply means godlikeness. So this is a mystery. How can people be changed into the image of Jesus Christ? How can people be in the image of God? Because they were really onto Jesus. How can you say you're the Son of God? We know your mom and dad. We know your brothers and sisters. You can't be the Son of God. And this is a mystery. The mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's Jesus. Justified in the Spirit, the cross. Seen by angels. Preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. What a mystery. This mystery of godliness, how does this happen? People are so amazed, for instance, of the gospel spreading in China without an evangelist, without anyone, without missionaries or anything else. The gospel is going from person to person to person to person. And a lot of it through the universities over there. And as I think it was Franklin Graham that was interviewing some of the Chinese and said, I understand you're really under persecution here. And I said, well, you don't know anything about it. And they said, well, he said, well, you're not allowed to pass out tracts there. And he said, well, what's a tract? I've never heard of a tract. Well, it's kind of like, well, an epistle. He said, but we are the epistle. We don't hand out epistles. We are the epistle. And so the glory then is spreading from person to person to person because they are in the image of Jesus Christ. Other people seeing them saying, what is it? What is it? What makes you shine like that? What's giving you such joy? What's giving you such peace? And they are so caught up in it that they don't even know they're under a repressive regime. They don't even know it. We know it from over here because we think of our freedom, but here they're under this communist regime and they don't even know that they're oppressed because they're free.
Yeah, they're free.
Which leads us to the next verse then, 1 Timothy 6:6. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. So detached from the cares of this life that we are experiencing this great contentment. Be content with such things as you have. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You can only live there if you've been changed.
That's right.
Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So we can't radiate something we don't have, which would be the love of the Father. Doesn't mean that God don't love you. It just means that you're not going to radiate that love out for the benefit of others if all you care about is your own stuff. If you're worried about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, where you're going to live, and all those kind of things. What you're going to wear. 2 Peter 3:11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? If all this is going to be dissolved, that doesn't mean that we're going to live with our head in the sand.
No.
That doesn't mean that we're going to not pay our bills and all that. You know, that's ridiculous stuff. People bring that up to me when I try to teach them this. But don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious. The Father, Daddy knows what you need. And we need a lot of stuff. But it's all provided when we need it. Remember I told you prosperity is having what you need when you need it. You don't need it before that time. You don't need it after that. You need it when you need it. So godliness, God-likeness. When you live in heaven, you think you'll have everything you need? I kind of think probably. Yeah. So godlikeness with contentment is great gain. 2 Peter 3:11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, it's all going to vanish away. But how should we conduct our lives? 2 Peter 1:1-4. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So that's where this is all going to come from, is our knowledge of God and our knowledge of Jesus. Beholding as in a mirror again. Same thing. As his divine power. So now we know where the power to change comes from. You can't change yourself.
No.
But God can change you. One of my prayers, pretty much on a daily basis, is search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. I want to know for two reasons. I want to be right with God. Also in John 14, Jesus said, there's nothing in me that belongs to Satan. Therefore, he has no power over me. So two things. One, I want God to be comfortable coming to my house, and I want Satan to have no power over me because there's nothing in me that belongs to him. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Throughout the Word of God, then, you have these precious promises, all of them telling us what we all look like, who we are in Christ Jesus. We have plenty of people out there telling us what they think of us. But what I want to know is, what does God say about me?
That's right.
He says, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. He said, I'm a new creation in Christ. He said he's put godliness in me, that he's changing me from glory to glory. So I want to know what God has to say, not what people have to say. That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. That's where we're going, folks. Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Having escaped, living above it all. Being able to, I know I've mentioned this before, that the people who are fearful to walk into a sinner's house are the ones that don't know who they are in Christ. Mm-hmm. Jesus had no problem walking into a sinner's house.
Mm-hmm. And he was condemned for it.
Yeah. And he also cleansed his house. This is supposed to be a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. Mm-hmm. And so I want my house to be so clean that God can just come anytime, day or night, and visit with me. And I want to be so clean that I can walk in the most sinful area and radiate the glory of God. Sinners don't bother me. We should feel such love, compassion, but that don't affect me. I affect it. They didn't affect Jesus. Jesus affected them. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is just as we're being changed then. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Why don't we need a law? Because that's not our nature anymore. You don't need a law if no one's doing it. You only need a law if someone is thinking about doing it. So we get these Bible words, godliness, for instance. You read right past them, but you don't really think in terms of, oh, God-likeness. He wants us to actually be like Him. When He first created man on the earth, He wants us to be like Him. And because we've sinned, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and now He is reconciling us, and we don't think about, you know, reconcile, or if we think about reconciliation, we only think in terms of, like, if we were going for counsel, say you were having trouble in your marriage or something, and you went to a counselor and he said, well, we want to reconcile the two of you. And what they would do is they would try to get one person to give a little and the other person to give a little and get this thing reconciled. There's only one problem. God can't be reconciled.
Yeah.
God stays the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we're the only one that can be reconciled to a holy God. We're the only ones that can be moved. And He is reconciling us, bringing us back to godliness, to conciliation, reconcile. So there's the conciliation or being in tune with. So I have a 6-string guitar and I have a 12-string guitar. But if I tune the E string on my 6-string guitar and I tune the 12-string guitar so that it's perfectly in tune and I hit the E string on my 6-string guitar, what happens? The other will just start playing all by itself.
Yeah.
What they call sympathetic sound.
Mm-hmm. That's neat.
Mm-hmm. Or I can strum all the strings with it open, and I can have 6 here and 12 over there. I have 18 strings going at the same time, and I'm only playing 6 of them.
Mm-hmm. That's neat. That's really neat.
So we have, when we get with God, and there's that truth, that sympathetic sound, spirit to spirit. Uh-huh. And when I get there, and a lot of times I can't go any further, I just like, all I can do is just be there and raise my hands. Because we've hit that place where it's, in music we'd call it grooving. But it's being one in the Spirit with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and my spirit, all being one. And it's just wonderful. And that's what Isaiah, when he was talking about, this is the rest. And this is the refreshing. So when you get in that place where you're in tune with God, and you come into this rest, into this refreshing, and truth, and life, and joy, and peace, and godliness is just all around you, and it's just moving all through the office, and I'm just, yeah.
Soaking it up.
More.
More. Or when it just goes through the church. Yesterday morning, it was so in the church. We sat there, no one saying a word. We were pretty much finished up the worship service, which goes for an hour. And then all of a sudden, it just, everything stopped. And we just were there in His presence. He was just loving it. Jesus was there and He was just loving it. You know, it's like, I've been waiting for this for a long time. Of course, we have too, haven't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, we need to be adapted to God's presence, adapted to the heavenly atmosphere. Paul says we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Heavenly places, or the heavenly sphere, is talking about God's presence on the earth. It's not talking about His home out there. It's talking about how He, Jesus, said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, right here on the earth. Or He said, my kingdom's inside of people. That's what we want to have going on as we go to Walmart. As we walk out among the sinners. We want them to scream out, leave us alone, leave us alone, stop preaching at us. And all we're doing is walking down the street. Amen?
Amen.